this is Cheryl McQuay. It's 7:10 a.m., October 11th, 2005. We're in Lansing Car Assembly's Dock 15, and we're about to interview Edward Lazarus. Ed, will you please state your name and address for the record and spell your last name, please?
Edward Lazarus, L-A-Z-A-R-U-S, 3105 West Willow, Lansing, 48917.
And what date did you hire in at Fisher Body?
September 22nd, 1969.
Do you remember the first day you walked in this building?
I remember the first day I walked in here.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, actually, I was coerced into coming here by my cousin, who has since deceased. I'm sure a number of people in here know Fred Billings. Actually, was a cousin of mine. And he bugged me for about 3 months. Come down here and go to work. I said, they won't hire me. He said, yes, they will. He said, they're hiring everybody that walked through the door. Well, to get him to leave me alone, I filled out an application. He turned it in and brought me down here, and the rest is history.
So where did you hire in at?
I hired in working up in, A-line repair, actually.
Wow, good job.
Yeah, it was a good job.
What did you do?
A job they called blackout. It was adjusting the door glass.
And that was called blackout?
Well, you know, when the window lays up against the seal strip, it has a black line around it. That's why they called it blackout.
And how long did you have that job?
Well, I was on that for about a year. Then I transferred to quality control.
So what kind of initiation did you get when, I mean, was there an initiation when you walked in this plant? Did anybody pull any pranks on you? Was it just kind of just come to work?
Well, actually, they kind of sort of did. The worst one was my first supervisor, Carl Schultz, who has since deceased also. But the second week I worked here, come around payday on Thursday night, you know, I was 18 years old. I was a green kid from the country, you know. I really was looking forward to that first paycheck. And pretty soon all the guys I worked with, they start looking at their checks. And finally I said to them, I said, well, where'd you get your check? He said, oh, the bosses got them down there. I said, oh, well, how do you get it? Why don't you go down there and ask him for it? So I walked down there, and I kind of stood around there hanging my head, because I was real shy in those days. And finally he looked at me and says, what do you want? I said, well, I was kind of sort of wondering if I could get my paycheck. He reached back in his back pocket, and he pulled the checks out, and he leafed through them. And he says, here. He says, if you don't straighten up, you're not going to get another one of them. Well, I'll tell you what, I was scared. I was scared. If any of you folks ever knew Carl Schultz, he was quite a practical joker.
So apparently you got more checks.
Yeah. The other guys I worked with, I went back there, I said, oh, the boss is mad at me. So I don't know what's going to happen. And I was sure I was going to get fired. I was sure. And they were all laughing at me. I said, don't pay attention to him.
So you mentioned that Fred Billings is your cousin. He worked here. Did you have any other family that worked here?
My oldest brother worked here a long time before I did. I think he hired in about 1961, and he quit in about 63 or 4. Didn't work here very long.
And where were you raised? In the area, or?
Well, I was actually born in Flint, and I grew up on a farm up northwest of here, about 50 miles until my folks divorced, and then I moved around a lot after that. My mother moved to Tennessee and then Florida. So I went to a lot of different places.
How long did you work in your repair job?
I only worked at about a year, and I transferred into quality control, and I was in QC for a long time, 14, 15 years.
What kind of jobs did you do in QC?
Everything. For a long time, I worked utility. Relief. I never liked doing the same thing every day, so I always liked with utility.
And you did QC for a long time. Do you have any special memories?
Well, actually, I kind of do. One of the things I remember, and it was a practice that I don't know where it got started, but it always seemed like the last day before Christmas, the Christmas shutdown every year, everybody on quality control would always get dressed up. The gals would all wear dresses to work, and the guys would wear a tie and a suit. And I don't know when that started or how long it lasted, but I haven't seen them do it for years. But we always used to do that. And then, of course, we always had holiday dinners. And quality control people always kind of set themselves a little bit above everybody else. I don't know why, but they always seem to do that. They don't now, but that was that.
I just realized that I did not introduce everybody that's present in this room. Could we quickly go around the room and let everybody state their name?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm Mike Fleming.
I'm Linda Johnson.
Doreen Howard.
Marilyn Coulter.
Jerry Smith.
Sorry about that.
Oh, it's all right.
Do you have a favorite bus?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I do. For years, I worked off and on for years in quality control. I worked for Frank Sprotto. He's always was my favorite boss.
What made him your favorite boss?
Pardon me?
What made him your favorite boss? What was special?
Oh, I suppose because mutual hobbies, you know, that we shared. And actually, I worked for his wife before I worked for him, before I even knew him. But after I met him, we became friends, and we're still friends.
I see that you're a hunter over here.
In fact, his picture's on the wall.
Is that your mutual hobby with Frank?
Well, that's what we share, yes.
I was gonna say, I thought he was a hunter.
Well, a couple of things before we go any further. You want to explain to everyone that doesn't understand it, maybe listening to this, what utility and relief was when you worked in QC?
Well, the utility position was loosely described as an absentee replacement. Whenever someone was on vacation, the utility person took their job, or if somebody was off sick or whatever. And usually each department had a couple, and it allowed you not to have to do the same job all the time and alleviate boredom to some extent. And relief was, in the older days, we had what we called tag relief, and the relief man would come around and give each person a short break in turn, two or three times a day.
Mutual hobbies being hunter, you're just a little bit more than a hunter. Would you like to explain to us what you do besides hunting? I kind of know, so you go ahead and explain.
Well, I'm a gun collector, and I travel a lot. I've always traveled by motorcycle. At last count, I think I'm up to about 38 or 39 of the Continental 48 on motorcycle. And I'm planning shortly, hopefully in the spring, a trip to Alaska. On the motorcycle, of course.
Let's go a little deeper, Ed. Explain, you are a gun maker as well, if I'm not mistaken. You don't make them?
I just collect.
You just collect? Okay, uh-huh. So you go to different antique shows and whatnot and collect?
I do a little service on them, you know, and simple things that a lot of my coworkers have asked for my use of my talents, if you will.
Now that includes making your own rounds.
Oh yeah, I load my own ammunition, and I shoot competitively as well.
And you've won some trophies at that, haven't you?
Oh geez, I've had so many trophies, but I used to shoot in the national matches every year, and that was always an experience to go and hang out with the U.S. Olympic team. And, and be right there with the people that travel and represent the country all over the world. That was
wow.
The coach of the U.S. Olympic team was, he wasn't just a coach, he was a friend to everyone. Or is, I should say.
Can you remember his name, man?
Oh, yeah, Lone Swigger. Absolutely. Great guy. Great guy.
Now, we talked about the different DACs in this facility. Right now, you are what we consider a DAC controller, right?
No, actually not. I guess my official title would be shipping clerk.
Okay.
Because this is now the shipping DAC, or always has been, actually.
But you have been DAC controller.
I have been, yes.
And there's a lot of things that you would do. Explain what you did as far as the safety of that, making sure that material got in and outside of the plant. What was your job?
Well, as DAC controller, depending on whether you was rail DAC or a truck DAC, you schedule rail cars into the plant and out and do all the appropriate paperwork. And the same thing with trucks. And when I was a DAC controller, I had a rail DAC and truck DAC both, so I did it all, or seemed like I did it all.
But there was a particular function that you had that at some point made some people happy and made some people unhappy. Would you mind explaining that, what that was?
Well, the problem of being a DAC controller is you're an hourly person. And basically the work you do is what the supervisor used to do. And so you kind of get caught in the middle, so to speak. I always tried to treat the people I worked with as an equal. And rather than tell them to do something, I would usually say, will you do this, or this needs to be done, and try and be a little diplomatic, if you will. Because a lot of the people resented that. And you would occasionally get that. You're not my boss. You can't tell me to do this. But so when you get in a situation like that, you go to your boss and tell them that this needs to be done, and they go tell the people to do it.
Well, I'm speaking more specifically of the job that you had of letting the train in and out, if you want to talk about that.
Oh, there was a safety involved in that. You had to make sure that chocks were on, the railroad tracks were locked out with a personal safety lock, so to ensure the safety of the people that are unloading the trains, and the same with trucks too. Although in the last few years we got docks in that had automatic dock locks, so where they couldn't unload the truck, couldn't even get on the truck unless it was locked.
And you had to take a class for that, did you?
Oh yeah, I had the safety and hazardous material and everything.
I can remember trying to get from one end of the plant to the other, and there was old Ed blocking my way. If you remember what I'm trying to say, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. We had a bridge that was right in the middle of the dock, and it was kind of rather inconvenient, but the train was on both sides of the bridge, of course, and so when it came time to switch the trains in and out, you had to raise the bridge and block everything off, and of course that raised problems in itself when people wanted to get from here to there, or especially if they were about due to go on break, they resent you raising the bridge, but that, it was all part of the job. You had to do it. And the trains, of course, were on a strict schedule. I mean, they didn't just come in at their convenience. They were supposed to come in at nearly the same time every day.
When did you go from QC to the dock jobs?
Well, actually, I worked for like about maybe 14 years on quality control, and I transferred to the layout department, and I did rework during the pilot period when we changed over to the front-wheel drive cars. It was a whole new concept of building cars, not the way we built them prior to that, and there were a lot of problems getting up and running with the new unified body construction and all that. So I worked at that for about 5 years, and then I went to, actually went on the production line in body shop for a couple years, and then I was back into quality control, worked in weld integrity for 4 years, and then I transferred to material handling and ultimately got to be a dock controller, where I am now. Sadly, it takes about 30 years to get the job you always wanted.
What is your current position?
A shipping clerk.
And what does that entail?
Well, everything that leaves here has to be accompanied by paperwork, which the corporate offices, that's how they decide where to bill everything to. So if somebody takes out a box of gloves, for instance, it has to be accompanied by paperwork, and that's what I do, is all the paperwork, which is all, you know, computer generated now.
Do you have any specialized training that you had to have before coming into this job?
Well, actually, computer skills are very useful. I kind of took to computer like a duck to water. I mean, not that I'm an expert at it, but I seem to be able to make it do what I want it to do, generally. Not always, but if I can't do what I want to do, I can usually find somebody that can show me how.
And so you were saying that this is a preferred job, so it takes many years of working here before you're able to get into something like
well
now.
It's all helpful, you know, having worked in from one end of the plant to the other, and everything I've learned, you know, during the material handling process helps me now. So
talk about the material handling process from where we were to where we are now. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, at some point we have gotten leaner and meaner in material to where we used to have stock everywhere, and to now we went to JIT. Can you talk about that?
Well, that started. The concept started in about 1984 when they pioneered what they called just-in-time material. And back when I first worked here, they used three or four buildings for just warehousing material. In those days, you could run for better part of a week or more if you didn't have a truck or a train come into the plant. And of course all that warehousing costs money, and the stock has money tied up that you're not using. And of course, with the idea of freeing that up, they tried to streamline the process coming in to where material coming into the plant would get here just a matter of a couple hours before it was absolutely needed. And oftentimes you would have the last box of stock on the line when the truck backed in, you'd unload it and take it right to the line. And I mean, it would literally be just in time.
And that when they created what we call hot stock guys, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where the dock controllers came from. They usually... Sometimes, if a truck was late or whatever, sometimes you had to have somebody grab it and run. They didn't have time to wait for the regular operator to do it. Might be tied up doing something else. And there was a lot of that, too.
So, Ed, when you hired in here, this place was known as Fishabody, and then it changed to BOC, and then LCA. And what did you think about the name changes?
Well, actually, that always saddened me, because even now people ask me where I work, and I say, well, I work for General Motors, but, you know, I usually qualify that by saying the old Fishabody plant. And this, of course, having been Fishabody for 50 years or more before the name change, most people in the area remember it as Fishabody, even now. And going to the, I always thought, you know, when they went to the BOC, for instance, I always thought that made a lot of sense. But I still felt I lost something when it went to that, you know. Because we were, for years, a separate entity and within General Motors. And that was special.
Over your time here, has there been any developed friendships or lasting friendships? You talked a little bit about Frank Sparato and doing things outside with him. Do you have any other co-workers that you do anything with?
Oh, you know, it seems to be indicative of where we work, but those of us that work here, and have worked here for years, most of our friends also work here. And I wouldn't say all my friends work here. I've gotten involved in other activities and different singles ministries in the area where I've volunteered and made friends elsewhere. But still, most of the people I do things with are, you know, work here or have worked here, retired.
Now, I know your cousin, Fred Billings, who passed away. I know he was a union member, an active union member. Were you ever an active union member? Were you ever active in the office of something?
Well, actually, I did try to run for alternate committee man at one time, and I only lost by about 9 votes, if I remember right. But I don't know. I thought maybe I could do something good, and it didn't work out, and it just... I never got interested in it again after that.
You never got interested in running for an office?
Right.
Okay. But you were still a union supporter, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've been here for a long time, you know.
Had you ever been through any of the strikes?
Oh, yeah. 1970. 68 days. Oh. I hadn't even worked here a year. Well, actually, I got my first year of seniority during that strike. And newly married and a new baby. And in those days, we got, if you were married and had a family, you got $35 a week. So that was your strike benefit. If you were not married, you only got $25.
Do you remember why you went on strike?
Well, actually, I kind of thought it was a lark, but it sure didn't help the pocketbook. Actually, the biggest issue at that time, I believe, was retirement, was the 30 and out. And I do remember, though, that the union asked for the right to retire after 30 years seniority, and they were paid $650 a month. That was pretty good benefits in 1969 or 1970.
Well, we're talking about that you hit the $35 a week for your strike pay. When you hired in, Ed, versus to where you are now, talk about your wage then, your wage now, benefits, and what's is it better or is it worse?
Well, actually, I hired in at $3.39 an hour, which doesn't sound like very much money now, but I actually believe we had more buying power on that in those days. And of course, we always worked a lot of overtime, especially back in the 60s and 70s if sales were good. And so, you know, you could actually make a pretty good living out of that. Of course, you could buy a new car for $3,000 then, too.
And so now you are at where we are now is wage-wise.
Oh, $27 and change, I think. I don't know. But seems like a lot. I just think I pay more taxes.
So you've seen a lot of changes. I mean, as we've already said, you started when the place was called Fisher Batting. Saw it go to BOC, saw it go to Lansing Car Assembly. What are some of the biggest changes you've seen over the years?
Well, actually, this part of the building we're sitting in right now, when I hired in here, was parking lot. I remember when this was built. I remember when the south end, the whole south end of the southwest end of the plant was torn down and remodeled. Building 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Those were all remodeled. And became the new paint shop, which was really, at the time that happened, we thought that was pretty good, because where I hired in on the line was right beside the ovens. And it was really hot back in those days. I mean, especially in the summer. And then when they remodeled the paint department and put the ovens up on the third floor, then you didn't have to deal with that extreme heat all the time. So it made it a lot more comfortable in the summer. It's still hot in the summer, but it, not like it was in those days.
Make me glad I wasn't here then. Did you ever participate in any of the department dinners or...
Oh, yeah, we... You know, in quality control for years, we had a Christmas party, you know, an off-site Christmas party every year that initially started, was just the salaried people, and then as the salaried and hourly personnel became more intertwined, you know, the hourly people were invited to them as well, and we have a tradition that, was started back in the early 70s by Frank Sprato and a bunch of other old-timers in quality control. They have a venison steak fry every year that originally was just for salary people, and now it's mostly about 50-50, and a lot of retirees still go. You know, I go every year, and I see people that retired years ago, and some people even come up to me and say, "What's your name again?" And I say, "You were my boss for how many years, and you don't remember my name?"
Where were some of the Christmas parties held? You said they were off-site.
Oh, they would often rent a hall or a banquet facility at a golf course or something. And one year we had it down to the Civic Center, when we still had a Civic Center.
Now, Ed, you said that the quality control people kind of felt they were a little bit maybe above the rest of the people. Is that one of the reasons, because you had such a different type of relationship with management than other people? Is that one of the reasons they felt a little bit different or cut above the rest?
You know, I don't know. It's just that it seemed like, of course, the different parts of the plant didn't intermingle that much with the other parts of the plant. I mean, the people who worked in the body shop always stayed in the body shop. The people who worked in trim always stayed in trim, and the people who worked in the paint department stayed in the paint department. And, you know, having worked a little bit in the paint department, but a lot in trim and body shop, you know, I got to know people all over the plant. And oddly enough, when I first had to work in a body shop, I hated it, because I didn't know anybody out there. But now I know people everywhere, so it doesn't matter where I work.
Being out here on the dock and doing what you do, this is like fall harvest time. Do you get anything from like your truck drivers or whatever? Do they bring in produce, stuff that they've grown or whatnot? Do you get any?
The regular truck drivers do that sometimes, and not always, but sometimes they do. Of course, a lot of the people that have hobby gardens here and bring in their surplus and just pass it out to anybody that wants it. I've seen that quite a bit.
Now, will you be going out to the Delta plant?
Actually, no. When I'm done here, I'm retired.
So what are your plans for retirement?
Travel.
Oh, that Alaska trip.
Yeah, the Alaska trip. Who knows what I'm going to do? I'm considering moving out of town. I live real close to work, which has been a real blessing. I didn't do it on purpose, but having driven 50 miles in one way back and forth to work every day and get to where I only got to drive a mile and a half, that sure made a difference in wearing out a vehicle, you know. And I love living close, but since I'm not going to be working anymore, I just shouldn't live out of town.
So, since you're not going to go to the new plant, and since you're going to retire and things like that, what would be a good message? What would be a message that you'd like to leave for the young ones that are still here?
Well, we don't get a lot of new younger people coming in, and that's sad because manufacturing jobs aren't as available as they used to be.
Yeah, but we have people who are, you know, they're 5, 10 years in, and they still got a little bit of road to go before they can get to where you are.
Well, perseverance more than anything. You know, a lot of the people I worked with over the years say, well, you've always had a good job, and it would seem that way, but I put my time in on the production line too, and I didn't always have a good job. And I remember one time for several months I worked at a body shop hanging deck lids, and when you pick up a deck lid out of the rack and hand it across the line to your partner on the other side 8-9 hours a day, you get pretty sore at the end of the day.
What would you say a deck lid weighs?
Oh, now they don't weigh hardly anything, but back in those days they were pretty heavy. You know, they probably weighed 30, 40 pounds.
And for those who don't work here, a deck lid is?
Trunk lid, what we commonly call a trunk lid.
Well, Ed, I really appreciate you spending time with us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure.
Is there anything that maybe I've not touched on that you'd like to say or...
Well, I can say that this place, it's sad to me to see this place close because, you know, I didn't come here with the intention of making a vocation, but the benefits that I reaped over the years and the friends that I made, it just made this place special. And when they really close it for good, I mean, we're officially closed, but when there's absolutely nobody working here and they tear the place down, it's going to be a sad day. I can tell you it's going to be a sad day.
I agree. Thank you so much.
Just one last comment. Since you are one of the few people that are left here with the plant closing, and you look out your door here and you see all the lights down and hardly any people and all the equipment and everything gone, tell me, what's your viewpoint on that?
Well, it seems pretty quiet. It seems like a tomb around here. It's so quiet now because for years, even when there was a lot going on, even when the plant wasn't running, and you know, people walking in and walking out, and you don't see hardly anybody walking in anymore. And I miss that. But the new plant's going to have its advantages and increased ergonomics and safety, but I don't think it's ever going to be like it was. Nothing ever is. But this was always a great place to work, and I was always proud to say I worked here. Actually, yes. And I would in my travels, I would occasionally run into people in other states. I remember one time I was visiting my sister in Arizona. My brother-in-law was in the sign business, and he was working at an Oldsmobile dealer. And I was just spending some time with him, and I was down at the dealer, just kind of wandering around. And one of the salesmen, of course, tried to sell me a car, and I said, no, I was just checking the cars out. He said, well, why? And I said, oh, I work where they build these, you know. And he said, well, where do you work? And I said, well, in Lansing, Michigan. He said, oh, he said, if we can get Lansing-built cars here, he said, they don't sit on the lot at all. He said, the cars that are built in the other plants will sit here. But he said, people come in and they look right at the sticker, and if that's a Lansing-built car, they'll buy it in a heartbeat. And that always made me feel special because our cars were desirable, and people wanted them.
I think everyone here has
earned
that agree with all of the statements that you just said. And we're also very proud to have worked here, too.
Well, I certainly am.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
My pleasure.
Thank
you.